Good morning, church, and welcome wherever you may be. Just thank the Lord that we're able to meet together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to our new series, Pressing Through Fear. So I'll ask you if you will stand as we read from the Word of God, Mark chapter 4 from verse 35 to 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even then the wind and the waves obey him." Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you will make this passage from your word live to us. We pray that you will show us yourself within your word, that you will show ourselves and show us our Savior. Lord, make this book live to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. It's no secret that we are living in critical days where there seems to be fear on one kind or another all around us. These various crises of life have often been compared to stormy seas. They come upon us at any time or place, whether we like it or not. They can make us fearful and knock us around so that we feel insecure. We feel in danger of losing our stability. There is fear of the past, fear for the present. There's fear of the future. What devastating results this monster has in our lives. It undermines our health. It paralyzes our world. And it robs us of sleep. So, what is fear? Listen to some of the definitions. A state of mind experienced in a threatening situation and resulting in behavior which is designed to escape or avoid the threat, real or imagined. A powerful emotion which can grip with paralyzing terror and leave you trembling. A feeling of anxiety, dread, or terror caused by the nearness of danger. However, we need to be clear that there is a legitimate or helpful kind of fear. These fears deal with realities which will protect us from unnecessary harm or danger. For example, keeping away from a fire or other hazards. This will impel us, if we have that fear, to flee from the immediate situation. Fear can wear many faces, and every one of us experiences fear in one form or another throughout our lives. But some fears distort reality and become overreactions, which then keep us from appropriate responses and are therefore unhealthy. They tend to create panic and a sense of helplessness. Have you noticed that most of the unhealthy fears we have had were actually needless because they never came about? Have you ever been fearful? Well, I vividly remember in December 1977 when I was a military chaplain in Rhodesia and I was shot and wounded in an ambush. There were 8 of us on the military vehicle. 3 of us were wounded, 2 more seriously than myself. And we estimated that there were about 20 of our assailants. As I was lying in the bush awaiting to be evacuated, a great fear came over me. Because if our assailants had followed us up, we'd have all been wiped out. I lay there and just prayed that the Lord would save us. And I praise His name that by His grace and providence, the assailants fled. It was a time in my life that I experienced real fear, even though I am a child of God. Maybe you fearful today. Perhaps it's advancing age, health issues, cancer, heart attack, and oh my goodness, COVID. Financial problems, unemployment, family issues, and the future just in general. Nothing feels worse than to feel powerless to do anything to change our situation. These are the winds and waves that can make us feel you're stuck, making no progress. You're exhausted and feel everything is against you. You find yourself overwhelmed with fear and feel you're about to drown in that storm you're facing. Someone said we may not all be in the same boat, but we are all in the same storm of life. And this difference is where the gospel story of Jesus stilling the storm is so relevant for us today. So by way of introduction, I must say the story of that storm on the Sea of Galilee, or as it is sometimes called Gennesaret, Tiberias, or in modern Hebrew, Kinneret, that story always puzzled me because I wondered how could a storm come suddenly upon this small lake with such fierceness and cause huge waves. Well, having been to Israel, visited Galilee, I now know the reason why. The Sea of Galilee is a lake about 13 miles wide and 7 miles across and about 150 feet deep. What makes it unusual is that it's about 700 feet below sea level and surrounded by these beautiful hills, especially on the east, the Golan Heights. When you go there, you will see those gullies and valleys that run down to the lake. When that warm air over the lake and the cold air on the mountain top mix, the wind sweeps down those narrow gullies and gorges. And these winds can whip up the water, causing high waves that can splash over any boat on the surface. And these storms can develop within minutes. One moment calm, and the next a raging storm. And Lake Galilee is notorious for its sudden storms. Now Mark tells us in this short passage a very interesting story, which is found in the 3 synoptic gospels. And as usual, Mark adds quite a bit more color and detail to it. He heard it, of course, from Peter, who was an eyewitness. So let us unpack this passage and see what we can learn about facing storms in the presence of fear. So if you're taking notes, the first thing we notice is the chaos. Storms are a test. Storms are a test. How true it is that the storms of life have a way of revealing the truth about us. They have that ability to bring to the surface what we're really made of. Whether we live by faith or by fear, whether our heart is full of trust or doubt. And in the context of Mark chapter 4, we find Jesus had a very busy day. He taught the crowds in parables, and then he explained privately to his disciples. And this continued throughout the day under the heat of the sun. So it had been an emotionally draining day for Jesus. Now it seems that Jesus wants to give his disciples a practical test to see how much they had really learned. And dear friends, perhaps the one reason God allows for trials and storms to come into our lives is to test our trust in him. Now I want you to notice very carefully verse 35. That day when evening had come, he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." You see, it wasn't the disciples' suggestion, but they did it in obedience to their master. Did Jesus know that the storm was coming? He is God in human flesh, the Creator. And Jesus was going to use the storm to teach them some things about himself and about them. If you're taking notes, from this we learn that storms of life can come upon us even when we are in the Lord's will. Storms of life can come upon us even when we are in the Lord's will for our lives. And there are no promises in the scriptures that say that Christians are exempt from trials and tribulations. In fact, the opposite. Remember the words of Jesus in John 16:33. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. This is a promise that we are not always willing to claim. Isn't that true? Troubles come to the godly as well as to the ungodly. So next we read in this passage in verse 37, a furious, or as Matthew in his account puts it, violent squall or storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. If you're taking notes, and then the disciples began to panic. Now remember, these guys were experienced professional fishermen. They probably knew these waters better than anybody else. They knew how much to handle a boat in a storm. But these winds and waves were too much for them, and they believed they were going to drown. The boat was beginning to fill with water, and so chaos ensues. They know this is out of their control, and they can do nothing about it. So they cried out to Jesus, and I'm sure they said, "Teacher, don't you care that we drown?" That's the way of life, isn't it? One moment all is well, the next it all goes to pieces, and everything seems to be falling around us. And this chaos and fear sets in. Just one phone call. Remember many years ago, my wife BJ, her parents her father had retired, and they were coming over to the States to visit Gary and Marilyn, his son. And they stopped off in Sweden to visit a friend there. And then we got the phone call. Her dad had had a massive heart attack and had died instantly. Just one phone call, how everything changed for us as a family. Just one visit to the doctor, I'm sorry to tell you. Just one incident that can happen in life, and all can change in a moment. Do you ever feel like these disciples? When storms suddenly come upon you, when you least expect them, storms of temptation, sickness, disappointment, sorrow, doubt, discouragement, sweep down without warning, and then the waves roll over your soul, and it seems your boat, the boat of your life, is going to sink in those angry waves. Has that ever been your experience? When you ask, where is God in all of this? Doesn't He know what I'm going through? Don't you care, Lord? Yes, you may well know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've trusted Him for your salvation and for life. But this is rough weather, and it appears that Jesus is asleep and doing nothing about it. So you may begin to doubt God's love for you and forget that the Lord is really testing you to let faith rule in your heart instead of fear. So the second thing we see here in this passage is, if you're taking notes, the calm, verses 38 to 39. Storm teaches us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Storms teach us about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show the picture of a calm lake. Is it there? Not yet. But wait, you've got to ask, who is in the boat with those disciples? No other than Jesus, the Son of God Himself, their master and teacher. Dear friends, that's a picture of Lake Galilee when it's calm. So this verse brings us face to face with what is a paradox, this seeming contradiction of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is He? Verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. There can be no doubt about His humanity. He is so tired and weary that He falls asleep. And Mark, as he usually does, adds detail, on a cushion. What a lovely thought. Our Lord Jesus, subject to our infirmities. Yes, truly a man with a body and emotions just like us. And what an interesting contrast between Jesus' tranquility and the disciples' panic. Even in these circumstances, Jesus is in complete control. So here, dear friends, if you're taking notes, we see the mystery and marvel. The mystery and marvel of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 39, He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Be still." And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. This is a supernatural miracle. And all three synoptic gospels use the same Greek word that indicates the calm was instantaneous. In other words, the water immediately, in an instant, returned as if there had been no storm at all. We all know that in nature, waves after a storm take some time to calm down. Not in this case. The lake became like glass again. And this is the same idea when God divided the Red Sea in Exodus 14:22, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Now the Hebrew word for dry ground denotes there were no puddles, no dampness, completely dry as if there had been no water there before. So Jesus speaks to the storm and tossing waves as if they were intelligent creatures, just as a man would speak to someone under his authority. Surely we see the truth that Jesus is the Lord of nature. The elements recognize his voice and they obey him. John 1:3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And Paul in Colossians 1:16, referring to him, for by him, Jesus, all things were created, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. So if you're taking notes this morning, hear creation. Here's the voice of its creator. Creation hears the voice of its creator. So we also see in this passage the deity of Christ. He is, yes, both fully man, but he's also fully God. Two parts in one person. He's able to fall asleep on a cushion in the boat, gets up and he's able to tell the wind and waves to be still. No wonder the disciples exclaimed, says they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They are realizing they are in the presence of one whose power goes beyond anything they had witnessed before. Dear friends, this is the bottom line of the story. It's all about who Jesus is. Obviously man, but also obviously God, who controls the elements. The Lord of creation and nature. The Lord of the universe. Lord of lords and King of kings. When we were doing our sermon prep on Thursday, I said to our pastors, we all, I'm sure, have favorite passages in the Bible. But I want to tell you, this is one of my favorite passages. I love this passage. And I can imagine all that went on. Because here is no clearer evidence of both the humanity and the deity of our Savior than in this passage of Scripture. Surely we see this to be true, fully man, but also fully God. Oh, that we should really take this to heart. No wave can ever roll any further than he permits. There's nothing in this world that is not under the sway of those hands that were nailed on a cross. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8:37-39. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The apostle there tries to exhaust all the possibilities of life. And in case he misses out something, he says, nor anything else in all creation. Whatever you may be facing, whatever crisis you may be in, whatever your circumstances, it's not beyond his control and his love for you. So thirdly in this passage, we see, and if you're taking notes, the chide or the censure in verse 40. Storms teach us about ourselves. Now after waking Jesus in panic, and probably shouting out, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Notice they call him teacher, not Lord. So their understanding was not quite as it should be yet. And so instead of asking, "Lord, can you help us? Can you save us?" they questioned his love and concern for them. You see, their fear blinded them to who Jesus really was. So the Lord gently chides them. He said to his disciples, verse 40, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" I want you to notice the word "still." Still have no faith. Even after all they had seen what Jesus had said and done before, yet they didn't trust him fully. Dear friends, isn't that so human? Aren't we just like that? However long we've been a child of God, we still have those times of doubt and worry when things go wrong in our lives. We certainly learn, don't we, much, if you're taking notes, about ourselves in the middle of a storm. And we really learn where our faith is. My dear brother or sister, I don't know whether you are headed for a storm, whether you are in the middle of a storm, or whether you're coming out of a storm. But one thing I know is that the Lord Jesus Christ is in total control if you his child. If you're a child of God, been born again of his Spirit, adopted into his family by faith alone, then Jesus is in the boat of your life with you. This is why I love this passage. Just stop to think of those disciples. They could not have been in a safer place at that moment, because Jesus was in the boat with them, and therefore they could not, it was impossible for them to drown, because it would be impossible for the Son of God to drown. Can't you see that the disciples were just as safe in his hands, whether he was asleep or whether he was awake? Either way, they actually had nothing to fear. Even if it appears he's asleep in your circumstance and does not wake up immediately to quiet the storm in your life, you are still safe with him, as he has promised never to leave you or forsake you. And when he does wake, he will probably say, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" What a lesson for us as Christians. We will run into storms of various kinds. They will cause us difficulty and sometimes even doubt. And if you're taking notes, but we need always to remember that Jesus is in the boat with us. We need to learn to trust him in our hour of danger or sorrow, anxiety or fear. So let's turn to the application. What do we learn from all of this? If you're taking notes, there are some things that we can only learn in a storm. The Bible has a great deal to say about not having fear. We are told that there are 366 fear nots, or do not fear, or do not be afraid, and their variants in the scriptures. 366, one for every day of the year, if there's a leap year, or if it's a special day of fear. It's double for us on that day. What is God trying to tell us? 2 Timothy 1:7 Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of discipline, or a sound mind." And he 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Satan is really the author of fear. And he knows how to hinder our effectiveness in trusting the Lord. It is Satan who is going to throw all those darts of fear and anxiety upon us when we are in a storm. That's why James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Dear friends, we should not let the devil talk us into the darkness of fear. He is alive and well on planet Earth. He has schemes that we're not unaware of, either as an angel of light or as a roaring lion. But he will come at us, and he is going to cause the waves to come splashing over our boat. He's the one who wants us to be in fear and not to trust God. And somebody said this, and I think it's so true. What we have most to fear is fear itself. Isn't that right? What we have most to fear is fear itself. You see, fear is the opposite of faith. Someone said, faith cannot operate when there is fear, and fear cannot operate when there is faith. It is light and darkness. One has to leave. Can I say that again? Faith cannot operate when there is fear. Fear cannot operate when there is faith. It is like light and darkness. One has to leave. Well, in my earlier generation, we had a wonderful acrostic for faith. What is faith? And I've never forgotten it. It's there for you if you're writing notes. F, forsaking, A, all, I, T, trust, H, him. Forsaking all, I trust him. If you want to know what faith is, that's a good way to think about it. Forsaking all, I trust him. Listen to Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 2. "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Wow, wow, what a promise. Did you notice that word, through? The Lord never leaves us in the storm. He takes us through it. Amen. That's the wonderful thing. Storms will come. That's what's going to happen. But we never left in them. God will see us through them if we trust him. Fears come into every life. Some of our fears may indeed be legitimate. And facing them head on will teach us a deeper trust in God. But some of our fears may be unhealthy and drive us to panic, to doubt, and to lack of trust and faith in God. Now these need to be mastered before they cripple us. Yes, the Lord will bring us through the storms of our lives if our trust is in him. And God calls us not to be afraid. Fear not, because God is with us. Fear not, because God is our God. Fear not, because He will help us. He will support us. And what is so wonderful, He is in the boat of our life with us. Here surely is the ground for not being fearful. We have a God who is infinitely more powerful. He is God. And our Lord Jesus Christ proved that in this passage. Fully human, fully divine. He's the one who can change our situation like that if He chooses. But He's in the storm with us. And I want to ask you, dear brother and sister, if you're in a storm today, do you believe that? Is that what you're holding on to? The fact that Jesus is in the boat with you. And as He cannot drown, nor can you. By resting completely on Him, trusting His word and taking His promises to heart, yes, we can then drive out that paralyzing fear that hinders our effectiveness in serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Back to Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The biblical antidote always works. I will trust and not fear. Dear brother and sister, when you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person that walked into it. That's what the storm is all about. You will see Jesus differently, and you will see yourself differently. Then you can press through any fear. There are some things that we can only learn in a storm. So when the Lord allows us, permits us to go through the storm, let us learn from them. The Christian faith is a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the powerful Son of God, fully man, fully God, based on His miraculous acts of power. It is a faith in Him as our Savior who died on a cross for the forgiveness of our sin. He died that we may be saved from ourselves, from all evil and any danger we may face. We don't face it alone. The Lord is in the boat with us. It's a faith to trust the one who said in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. May I ask you a personal question? Have you invited Jesus into the boat of your life? Do you have that peace with God, knowing that your sins are forgiven, and the peace of God, that you know He is in control of all things, because you have trusted Him to forgive your sin and give you eternal life? If that's never been your experience, do you know you can put that right now? You can pray this simple prayer. God has touched your heart and you know that He is not in the boat of your life, that you are struggling with all sorts of issues in your life, and you need to know His peace. You need to know His voice telling those waves outside you, be still, be quiet. If you pray this prayer in your heart, Lord Jesus, I am very conscious that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. I thank you that you came from heaven to save me by dying on the cross in my place and rising again. As best as I understand, I repent of my sin and I humbly ask for your forgiveness. I'm trusting you alone, Jesus, for my salvation. Please send your Holy Spirit to live within me. Make me part of your great family. Come into the boat of my life. Amen. Dear friend, if you've prayed that prayer, you can be sure that Jesus is with you, and you can trust him for time and eternity. He will be in your boat of life, and so you too can press through any fear. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the wonder of your word, and as it reveals to us the truth that is in Jesus. As we see this passage, may it be an encouragement to us. Lord, if we need rebuke, may it rebuke us about our lack of faith. But help us, Lord, in these critical days in which we live, days full of uncertainty, days of just confusion, days when we know not what's going to happen. Lord, help us to know that you are in the boat of our life. We will not sink, we will not drown, because you are there with us. Oh, Father, you know the hearts of everyone bowed before you now. Whatever their circumstance may be, whatever their situation is, please, Lord, reach down. Meet that person at the point of their need. Put your loving arms around about them. Assure them of your love. That if they are your child by faith in you, that you have it in your hands. Lord, the future may be bleak, but we know the outlook is bright when we see and know you, that you have promised never to leave us or forsake us. Oh Lord, take your word today. Apply it to our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.